think faith should be difficult or rigorous anyways. But what...
Wait. What? Hold on, go back.
Faith should be difficult or...
She says, I don't think faith should be difficult or rigorous. In other words, it shouldn't have rules. What do we need rules for when we have love? What do we need statutes for when we can say what we want and do what we want and people should just do what we want? And if we don't, we burn a building down or we talk about how or we cancel them and get them fired from their job. I mean, what do we need rules for, right? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, I come today bearing bad news. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Bad news. According to the reports I'm getting, and this isn't super new news. It's new as in it's about less than a month old. But the United Methodist Church has now... they've now affirmed and totally thrown in their docket with the Alphabet Mafia. They have now allowed LGBTQ pastors and everything to be... they've gone full rainbow. They've ran a red light straight into the rainbow. And my friends, this is a so-called Christian church. Now, it's one thing to say, hey, I don't care what you do in your bedroom, that's your business. You know, but in this church, we teach the traditional word in the written form from the Judeo days to now, and we teach what the Bible actually says, not this reformed crimson Christianity version of the Bible. We don't teach that here. They've gone full send into, you know what, we're gonna just say love is love, we're gonna just affirm everybody, and we're going to just throw our hat into the ring of the Alphabet Mafia. To me, it makes me sick. And it's another symptom of why I have the belief system that I have, why I preach what I preach on this show, and why I wrote Biblical Bachelor, because I saw this coming. I knew it was going to get worse. I knew that the churches were going further and further to the left, further down the rabbit hole of revolutionary crimson Christianity. For those of you who don't know what crimson Christianity is a term that I coined to symbolize the infusion of communist rhetoric into traditional church settings. They've now pushed gender theory in there, which is now pushing the so-called they're pushing the silent P. They're pushing people who like certain individuals who are under the age of 18, and they're trying to make that mainstream. Oh yeah. Oh, you didn't hear about this, did you? Oh, don't worry, you heard it right here on the show if you didn't know it already. And of course, this is not a surprise to me. I have known this for a while. This is why I'm not a fan. I've met people who are in this so-called under the blanket of the rainbow community before in my life, and they're fine people. I have no problem with you being gay or anything else. The problem I have is when other people try to force, like they twist the entire world around themselves. Me, I actively tell you, I am not trying to get men to stop being married. If they're Christians and they want to be married, go ahead. But if you want to see reality for what it is and you want to go be a biblical bachelor, then you should do that. That's what I do. Again, my friends, the reason this is important is because when you lift this ban, it's like legalizing marijuana. When you legalize something, you make it more... You not only remove the cap, you dump the entire container in the bottle. You make it so that this is going to happen more and more and more. And now you mix in society with a dash of the fact that now the church is telling them in some cases, and in a lot of cases actually, that this is okay and that God is okay with this. You're getting the world you're currently living in the Western civilization. You guys ever hate it when you get a spam call? I'm getting spam calls right now. What the hell is this? What was the FBI calling me? Look, my friends, we're going to break this down. We're going to have a conversation about this. If you want your voice to be heard, if you're a Methodist Christian, I'd love for you to comment and discuss how this has affected you and your church. If you're not and you want to just talk about how this is affecting Christianity, how it's affecting your personal belief with God, if you want to discuss how it's affecting the culture, all those things are fair game on the Sheep Get Sheared podcast today. Well, my friends, we're going to jump into the first video I have of this woman who I think is a Methodist talking about this, and we're going to listen to what she has to say. Let's let her take it away.
For Christians that are hearing about this for the first time, this is a very important thing for North Carolina Methodist churches. Basically, the churches were given an ultimatum. Methodist denomination now affirms the Alphabet Mafia lifestyle. This is in direct contradiction to the Bible. Every church underneath the Methodist umbrella was basically told, you have to go along with this. You must give back all the funding and resources that the Methodist denomination has given you. And if you refuse, we will send in new leadership to replace you. Very, very scary stuff, if you ask me. Now, all the Methodist churches had to buy their way out or fold in their faith and succumb to these crazy demands. All in all, the Methodist church needs to be held accountable for this terrible behavior. I'm also so proud of the churches that are not bending the knee to this tyranny.
Nothing screams I'm doing the right thing like saying either do what we say or we're going to financially ruin you. Nothing screams that I am in the right like basically extorting people. Wow, that's nice. Of course, you know, in between healing the sick and taking care of the poor, Jesus definitely said, hey, if you don't agree with me, I'm going to charge you money. What the hell is going on in the world I'm living in? What kind of world did I wake up in? Where not only are people being so-called tolerant, now they're encouraging this. They're encouraging the lifestyle. They're enabling it. And now we're surprised by the world we're living in. That like, what is it? Like 10 to 15% of Gen Z is identifying as a member of the Alphabet Mafia? What kind of world are we living in here, my friends? I'll tell you what we're living in. We're living in a society where social media reigns supreme, number one. And number two, people want to feel accepted. People want to feel as though they have a place in society because most people do not have the courage to be disliked. I mentioned to you on yesterday's show, if you watched yesterday's show, which I don't expect everybody to watch every show I do. I know I put out a video every day. I don't expect everybody to watch everything that I ever do because I'm not that conceited. But what I did do yesterday was I was having a drink as I contemplated the hard times of the world we're living in, and I wrote down a couple reasons why I think that men, especially young men in particular, are losing today. I gave you the first four reasons yesterday, I'll give you the next four today, and then we'll continue to discuss the ban lifting of the United States Methodist Church, or the United Methodist Church. Alright, let's go to number five. I listed one through four, let's go to number five. The reason that why young men in particular, but men in general, are losing is caring more about what you cannot control versus what you can. It's one thing to comment on it. It's another to be like a hamster on a wheel and have it just completely drain you and you never actually went anywhere. Six, wanting to be comfortable, not convicted. Oh boy, is that ever important to the story today. Does anybody else think that people are actually doing this because it's holy, because it's something that God wants? No, it's not. They're doing it for the greenbacks, number one, and number two, because they want people to feel comfortable, not convicted. They don't want people to actually like contemplate their life and like follow rules. I made this comment on the show before. When you take the rules and the statutes and the bylaws out of religion, that's the equivalent of having a guard dog with no teeth. All bark and no bite. It's useless. Because then you have people who are not held, they're supposed to live up to the standard, but if they don't, so what? You know, we want people to feel comfortable and happy, and we don't want to make people feel bad. Oh, no, no, no. We don't want people to feel bad because that's not good. And not only is it not good, it's shaming. And we don't want to shame anybody, you know, whether it's body or whether it's for being outside the norm or whether it's for, you know, being unhealthy or for being, you know, slightly perverted. No, we don't want to make people feel uncomfortable because this is America, land of the free. We want everybody to feel accepted, you know, but not those right-wing Christians or those although those men who want a traditional relationship, no, those people, no, we don't want their kind here. But everybody else, love is welcome here, and we want to love you. But not if you're that right-wing cracker over there in the corner. We don't like him, but we like everybody else. Everybody else is okay. I'm sorry, I gotta make light of this, because otherwise you could go crazy from it. You could go crazy if you don't find any kind of sense of humor out of what we're living in today. Number 7 on the list of why men, especially young men in my opinion, are losing. 7, they're not investing in themselves. Number 8, they are afraid to be alone. Gentlemen, not only would I say that applies to men, I would say that applies to men in positions of leadership and churches. Because when we talk about the Methodist Church turning its back on thousands of years of tradition, not hundreds, thousands. The Catholic Church has done it because of this Leninist Pope they have now, which is a disgrace, by the way. He's right every once in a while, but for the most part, he's a complete crooked person, in my opinion. All I have to do is look at what he said about conservatives being... whatever, I'm not going to go too political today. Let's go to the next video I have on today's show, and we're going to talk... So, they told in the last video that they were opening up to, in her words, the Alphabet Mafia, which I like. The Alphabet Mafia. That's a clever twist. I like that. But we're going to jump into what you are likely now to hear in a Christian church, so-called. Let's listen.
Can LGBTQ people know God? Let's talk about it. Interestingly, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 17, Jesus says to Peter, "Who do people say I am?" And Peter says, "They say you're Elijah. They say you're John the Baptist." And then he says to Peter, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "I think you're Jesus. I think you're Christ. I think you're God." A large component of religious homophobia and transphobia is this idea that when queer and trans people say we know God, that this is a lie because God can't inhabit queerness or can't inhabit transness. There's even this idea that when LGBTQ people say God loves me, that they're engaging in lukewarm Christianity, a type of Christianity that isn't rigorous, that isn't difficult. But I don't think faith should be difficult or rigorous anyways. But what...
Wait. What? Hold on, go back.
Faith should be difficult or...
She says, I don't think faith should be difficult or rigorous. In other words, it shouldn't have rules. What do we need rules for when we have love? What do we need statutes for when we can say what we want and do what we want and people should just do what we want? And if we don't, we burn a building down or we talk about how or we cancel them and get them fired from their job. I mean, what do we need rules for, right? Rules are so oppressive and part of that bourgeois capitalist, you know, patriarchal society. We don't want none of that. That's garbage. That's gobbledygook. What we need real love. And real love says, I can do whatever the hell I want. You can't, though, because you're oppressive. I can, though, because I'm in touch with my spirituality. I am really here to make other people feel better. And you know what? I know what God wants. Okay, look, let's take God out of the conversation for 2 seconds. Okay? Let's get real. Why do you think that certain traditions that these people are actively fighting against, why do you think institutions like heterosexual marriage existed? Why do you think that the ancient Israelites in all of their wisdom had these things called the Ten Commandments, you know, the things you find in Exodus when you read the Old Testament? Why does it say that there was rules that God gave them and they have the entire Torah and the Talmud to give them rules? Why do they say it was a sin? Oh yeah, in the Old Testament, a book that they no doubt despise, it actively says that if you engage in such behavior, you should be put to the sword. Now, I'm not saying you should do that today because we live in a modern country. We don't do that anymore, and for good reason. However, why do you think that was there? I mean, look, what is it with these people and telling and lecturing guys like you and guys like me when there are guys in Iran and Afghanistan and in Palestine throwing people off of a roof for practicing this type of lifestyle, and yet not a peep out of these people? Nothing. Zero. Why is that? Well, number one, they're cowards. And number two, because it's never been about the actual accepting of their lifestyle. It's about the gender theory. It's about the communist infiltration of Christianity. Marx himself described religion as an opium or a painkiller. He despised religion. He saw God as inferior to the government. The government is all popular and all powerful in his mind. So when we get into this conversation of, oh, faith shouldn't be difficult or rigorous, well, then what the hell is it for? What, to go there on a Saturday or a Sunday to feel good and talk to people for an hour and go home? Not a social club. Not the YMCA. This is a church. Has anybody else been to Europe? I'm going to Europe later on in the summer. I cannot wait to go to Europe and see the old school cathedrals, the Orthodox, the Catholic, the old school, like Notre Dame level cathedrals. History, symbolism, great architecture and history. You mean to tell me that all of that was there so that we could listen to people like this lecture us about how we don't understand, we don't know how to read chapter and verse? I'll quote the sutra. I'll quote the chapter and verse where you're lying. Look, no one's saying that God doesn't want you around. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the reason that heterosexual marriage is encouraged in every religion on the planet is because you can't have children without one. I know. Oh, did I just say that? Yes! Without modern technology, unless you are a heteronormative person, you can't have children. Which is what every society was built off of going back to the beginning of recorded history. So do you wonder why they didn't let Matthew lay with Mark and God and Jesus didn't say, just love who you love? No! Because then your society would fall apart like ours is right now. You wonder why these things were in the underworld for so long? That's why. Because when it goes mainstream, the society starts swirling the drain. And before you know it, you've descended below that of the ant. Solomon himself in Proverbs says, go to the ant, you sluggard, and learn her ways. How did we know that we devolved to such an extent then we need to look at animals to see that Donald Duck needs to be a Daisy Duck instead of Daffy Duck. Instead of Donald and Daffy, it's supposed to be Donald and Daisy. But guess what? Now, apparently, that's controversial. But back in the day, that was no duh. Even when I was a kid. It's unbelievable to me. I don't get how we're living in this. I'm living in this world. Let's continue.
Rigorous anyways. But what we see in Matthew 16, when God says to Simon Peter, who do you say I am? We see Jesus recognizing that every individual person has the right to know and define God.
That is not at all what he said. Where do they get this stuff from? How to define God? What? God doesn't care how we define him. God is bigger than everything. God could snap his proverbial fingers and then everything. He doesn't give a damn what you say and how you define him. You see how much of a stretch they need to go to validate what they're talking about? Because they know it's a bunch of crock of garbage.
And that definition can go against how the hegemonic church is defining God.
If this is true, then why didn't Jesus tell Mark and Matthew that it was okay for them to do it? Why didn't he say, oh, don't worry, guys, love is love. You think that homosexuality didn't exist back then? Oh, it did. Why didn't Jesus then talk about love being love? Why didn't he talk about that? Answer, because he didn't think it was true. Why? I can't believe I have to even talk. I'm getting a migraine having to explain ninth grade biology to these so-called theologians on TikTok. If what you're saying is true, then why did God create man and woman and not just humans who were interchangeable, or Adam and Anthony, or Eve and Edith? Answer, because your argument is ludicrous. It's stupid. Your argument is so dumb, you have to pick a verse where he's having Peter ask him whether he thinks he's God to say, oh, do you think I'm a man? That's not what he said. But of course, this is how desperate these people are, and people are kowtowing, more and more congregations are kowtowing this insanity.
Black theology, queer theology, woman's theology, all of these, you know, theological frameworks are steeped in the idea that black people can know.
Oh, you see, now that's the real game. It has nothing to do with being, quote, queer. It has nothing to do with being black. It has nothing to do with being a woman, and everything to do with screw those evil traditional men, whether they be white, black, Asian, Hispanic, don't matter. Screw those traditional capitalist bourgeois pigs. That's what they're saying in plain English. Feminist theology, steeped in Marxism. Read Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto. Queer theory, gender theory, based in Marxism, uprooting and destroying relationships in bourgeois society that overthrow the factory system. And then race baiting theology, race baiting. Goes back to the Marxist, goes to Herbert Marcuse and his idea of gender, the invention of racism offenses, and his, I think it was 11 ways to uproot any social hierarchy. Number one, I have quoted this so many times. Number one was the creation of racism offenses. In other words, anytime anybody does anything, scream racism to divide the nation.
Know God, that women can know God, that queer and trans people can know God.
How offensive is that to women, by the way? So you're lumping in people who are queer and trans with being a woman? How offensive is that to women? Ladies, if you're listening to the show, can you kindly let me know, and the men in this community, does that offend you? That you're now on the level of being, quote, queer or trans? You're now lumped in with them, like you're on the same exact level as them, and you agree with them, and they're fighting for you? Please let me know. Does that offend you? I'd love to have the answer to that question.
And this is revolutionary, because throughout history, we've said that historically oppressed communities actually have a distance from God.
No one has ever said that.
And that only dominant communities can know and define God.
What did I just finish saying about the destruction of the bourgeois capitalist society? That's what this is. This is Crimson Christianity, the slow and subtle infusion of communism into Christian communities. That is what this is. They are using every playbook: oppression, minorities, the patriarchy, oppressive church rhetoric. It's all about destroying your way of life, period, in a story. That's all it is. And the churches and their desire to be accepting are bringing about their own demise, in my estimation. Can you believe that we're only halfway, like barely halfway through this video, and I'm already getting the biggest headache like you wouldn't believe? Does anybody else have a headache listening to that? I'm not joking. I need water. I can't do this, man. This is the kind of garbage that I listen to every day for this show. And if you think, if you ever find yourself asking, why does he believe in biblical bachelorism? I mean, does it get any more close to home than what we just watched? That is going to show up in your church in my T-minus 10 years, as sure as I'm sitting here. If it's not there already, it's going to be there in T-minus 10 years. You mark my words. Why? Because churches want to maintain their tax-exempt status. And as the government becomes more and more accepting of this type of insanity, they're going to start using money to pressure the churches, as sure as I'm sitting here. Just look at what they did during COVID. Am I not supposed to say that? Is that against the community guidelines? Am I not supposed to say that? Oh, I'll say it. My friends, let me know what you think. Do you support this uplifting of this ban? Do you oppose it? Do you see where I'm coming from? Do you agree that this idea of Crimson Christianity is infiltrating and infusing its way into the church? Whether it be Lutheran, Methodist, whatever. The Baptists are doing a decent enough job, but even them, they're slowly starting to crack, and I can see it. Maybe not in your church, so you don't see it. But as someone who's on social media a lot, looking for content for this show, I'll tell you, it's happening more than you might expect. My friends, take care of yourselves. Always think for yourself and don't allow these people to pull the wool over your eyes. I encourage you to comment, share. If you like the video, you know what to do. Take care of yourselves. I'm out. Peace.